CliffCentral.com.
All right, we are live. CliffCentral.com, Friday morning. We got Gord Laws with us today. Gordo sent me a voice note while he was in Germany, and he puts on this, he's created this character, and you're brilliant at this. I mean, I played it for people. They didn't know it was you, and they're people who know you. And they were like, Jesus, that's good. So in your head, I don't know how it works because I can do impersonations, but I don't create characters like you do. And, you know, you created Hard Eddie, who was like one of the most popular and brilliant characters, I think, in South Africa's comedy history. But you created this guy who sounds like, it's almost like someone I know, but I don't know anyone who's exactly like this. And he's got such depth and personality. It's like your characters have been worked out. You have a whole backstory and everything. You just believe it completely. And his name is Rodders, Old Rodders, and he's from Rhodesia, right?
I just have to start by saying, Gareth, first of all, thanks for having me on this broadcast. It's amazing what you can do with the technology, I'll tell you what. But it's actually about you. You know my bestie Gumpy, Old Gregory, right? He actually created a very similar character. It started with him, and he created Cecil. And he would occasionally, at the old bride, he'd be having a bit of a rendezvous. He'd just become possessed by this old Rhodesian. So Cecil is actually the original. I didn't create this character, but he needed a best friend. So it's old Roger Streak from Two Farms Across, you know, crack shot with a .22, love a bit of gin and tonic. So that's, you know, it's just when my time, things were simpler. You know, there was an easier way to do things.
God, I love it.
But I'm convinced these characters will get me cancelled because I've got like – I get a character in my head, and it's not necessarily one that I like. You know, Hard Eddie started off as the biggest dickhead in the world.
Of course.
Like, Hard Eddie kind of eventually became well-meaning.
Yeah.
I had to, like, actually develop the character so that Hard Eddie actually wants to help. You know, he's a butt from Four Ways, and he genuinely doesn't understand why other people find it so hard to be sweet. And so he wants to help. But he initially was just a nasty dickhead. He was just everything I hate about butts distilled into one thing. So Old Rodders has got some conservative views. Like, man, let me tell you. And I sort of look upon some of the things Rodders thinks, and I'm like, gosh, that's bloody terrible. I don't like that at all.
But it is, it's amazing. Like, you have these characters. And I often think, like, this is what makes some actors brilliant, is that they can inhabit these people fully. And you really, like, you go into it and you stay in character. You send me a voice note and it's entertaining throughout. And this guy is saying stuff that is, it's all like funny. It's comedy. It's like scripted comedy, but I know it's just coming from your head because you believe so completely in the character. And I mean, you probably.
More like a bloody possessed, Gareth.
You're possessed. Right.
With the technology you've got these days, I could send you a telegraph immediately on your birthday. I was far away in Germany, I tell you, of all places, and I was able to tell you happy birthday. I wrote you that letter 7 months beforehand, and I thought, well, with the bloody South African Postal Service being the way that they are, there's no bloody way it's going to arrive. So you didn't get my embroidery from my wife because it didn't arrive through the bloody post, but I was able to use this cellular telephonic device and just send you a broadcast. It's incredible. But I tell you, it makes the youngsters lazy, all of this. It's outrageous. What happened to choosing a nice envelope, you know? Going and taking the trouble to get your bed pen and write something in a bit of a cursive script.
Listen, speaking of pens,
did you
see Prince Charles, or now King Charles? There's this video that's been going around. It's hilarious of him. He's signing something. Some guest book or whatever. And he goes, well, what is the date? And then Camilla says, it's the 12th. And he goes, I've put the 13th. Damn it. And he like crosses out the 13th. And then the pen like starts leaking. And Camilla goes, oh, it's gone all over. And he goes, oh, I hate it. It's so annoying, this stinking thing. And he loses his temper about this pen. And it got me thinking, like, that is something I can totally relate to. And obviously, you know, a bit of people passing around because it's like, oh, spoiled King Charles got a pen that leaked and his whole life is a fucking disaster now. But to me, like, it's something I can completely relate to. A good pen, and you just said as Rodders, a good pen, like listening to listening to Charles like losing his shit over this pen that starts leaking is just, that is my favorite kind of thing.
You get in the mindset of like, it's one thing to do an impersonation and have, because I also do that with voiceovers, a bunch of impersonations, and some are better than others. But like my buddy Gump is fantastic at this, and he's got Cecil. He's like, I just eventually started copying it, and the character develops in your head. So the problem with it is like, you've got a responsibility for yourself if you say something outrageously offensive. You have to control yourself. But I put myself in the mindset of people who think differently than I do. So, you know, I've got Hazel from Houghton, and it's like, oh my God, this woman's is outrageous. They've got 8 tills and there's only 4 of them open. It's like, well, Hazel, you know, they probably need spare ones. Also, it's not always lunch rush. No. So the way that individuals think that I don't necessarily like, this worldview that people have that I find sometimes just bizarre and sometimes very entitled and sometimes outright offensive, I say, okay, what would it be like to think that way?
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, I could be doing Rodders say something very old Rhodesian.
It's like,
and it's not what I believe. It's what I think other people believe that is like stupid.
Yeah, I mean, listen, some people have lost the ability to appreciate this kind of comedy because they assume that everything a character says is indicative of that character's true political beliefs and that they should be condemned in a modern context for it. The whole point of having characters like this...
Well, the person doing the character's beliefs.
Yeah. Sorry, that's quite right. But the whole point of this is that you need to, you know, like someone said to me, the definition of respect, if you break it down, is obviously look, spec is to look, re is again. So you look again, but you look at it from the point of view of you and then the other person. And if you don't ever, whether it's through comedy or through drama or just observation, if you don't actually pay attention to someone, especially the people who you disagree with the most, you can't really understand them. And therefore you can't ever find a way of either, if you want to, beating them by arguing and making a more salient point and arguing a better way and kind of explaining a position better than they have. Or just learning to live and let live, which is also kind of a skill these days, you know, because most people, especially if you look at social media, they can't live and let live. Arguing is like the whole reason they exist, and they just want to fight with people, but they don't actually want to understand them. So
being right is an illness in modern society.
Yeah.
All have it. So I can't come from a total point of judgment. Sometimes you just want to be right and you completely lose track of what.
Yeah.
But that's like social media debating. It's like, okay, I'm right. Good morning, world. Yawn. Yeah. Sit up out of bed. I'm right. Let me go online and find out what I'm right about. What am I right about today?
Yeah, that's...
But with these characters... like, I try and see... I don't constantly do this. I've just sort of back-analyzed it. So what actually it is like, I think, what would it be like to be like an old grumpy white oak who hates everything and, you know, like has this perspective where you're always right.
Yeah.
And, you know, in my time, it was done bloody better.
Right.
And you're like, no, it wasn't, Roger. It was better for you and 10% of the population and shit for everyone else. But like, he bloody believes it. He's not lying. It's just how he sees
and, you know, things used to work much better in my day. Those people, we all know people like
in my time, things worked.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah, if you were you and you're like 100 friends, everyone else was miserable. Yeah,
right.
But like, I try and imagine what it would be like to see the world like that. And then it's fun to like just inhabit that space and be an asshole, you know? So it's always a tricky gray area. And I know there's certain shit you can't just say, well, it's comedy and do whatever you want. But sometimes these characters say things and I'm like, holy shit, that's awful. Like, God, I don't agree with that at all. That's the opposite of what I think. And I'm always wondering, like, in this modern era, like, can you actually have some fun with it or not? Because Rodders is a dickhead. Like,
no,
he's
totally
terrible.
But he's hilarious. And I actually do think that there are still people who are exactly like him in the world. I mean, they exist. You know,
I was messaging you the other day about, like, dude, I've got a character. They haven't fully formed in my head. But, like, we need to have one called Wrecked Tim. And Wrecked Tim is always wrecked. And Wrecked Tim, to me, just is the thought of it is, what if Pyro didn't come from money and wasn't good looking? So all of that, like, you know, that padding of life where you're blindingly attractive and you've got, like, you came from an education and you've obviously got some financial structure behind you. If you were just broke and ugly. How would life go for wrecked Tim? And I've got to figure this one, because it'll pop in my head eventually with the backstory, and then I'll just watch and see what happens.
I'm looking forward to it. Listen, let's get Robbie on. Robbie Collins is obviously the one of the great comedians in South Africa. He's a recipient of, let me just go through some of this so you know, because the guy's got a hell of a CV. Standard Bank Ovation Award for the for That Bushman's Crazy. He's played to the biggest comedy audiences in South Africa with appearances at the Heavyweight Comedy Jam, Blacks Only, Kings and Queens of Comedy, and a whole lot more. He's opened for Mark Lottering, Eugene Corza, Trevor Noah. He's received an Emmy nomination for his writing on the Late Night News with Loyiso Gola. He's also appeared on TV shows like Scandal, Laugh Out Loud, Late Night News with Loyiso Gola, and so many more. And Robbie's with us this morning. It's so nice to have you on, dude. How are you?
I'm so good, bro.
It's good to see you. What's been happening, Robbie?
Dude, I'm literally trying to stay alive right now because I've had no electricity from 11 p.m.
I'm sorry. So, well, welcome back to South Africa. You just got back from New York, right? So you actually experienced like civilization, and now you get back to this, and now you have to like have electricity for a quarter of the time. I see today we've got like a 4-hour thing this evening. So whatever I wanted to do, I'm going to be sitting in the dark with candles like it's 1600.
But you know this, Garrett, like I'm really excited to speak to you because you're one of those people that have always respected and put comedy on.
Yes.
And I'm so happy to speak to you. But at the same time, I'm just like, this is Africa again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. 100%. But listen, I want to talk to you about comedy. And I think you probably have met or you know Gord. And this is Gord Laws, Robbie Collins. There we go. You guys know each other.
I don't know if we have met, man, but I'm a fan of your work. And it's awesome to kind of meet you.
Oh, he's just dropped off. You see, you put him off so much. He's just either that or it was load shedding that's finally kicked in there as well. But we'll get him back on in a moment.
Malcolm Glazer says, Gord takes over again. Good guy, but too in your face. I mean, sorry, Malcolm.
You can't please everyone.
I'm here to talk, so I'm going to. But you could also pull a Robbie and just leave if it's not your favorite show of the
That's
week.
Right. Absolutely. I always tell people.
Come back tomorrow. I won't be here.
Yeah, neither will I.
Oh, shit, no. Tomorrow's Saturday. Okay, well,
yeah.
Come back tomorrow.
Yeah, come back tomorrow. You can have whatever you want tomorrow, Malcolm.
I do get carried away, but if you don't know me by now, you may never know me. This is why we've always done it. We used to do it once a week and not every day, or it would be like Gareth occasionally comments on the Gordon Law Show.
That's right. That's fucking right. So Robbie, the reason I wanted to get him on is because he's on a bit of a mission to get stand-up comedy as a genre and an industry back on its feet, obviously after COVID and everything else. We've spoken about this with a lot of comedians, but Robbie's decided he wants to make it more accessible and try and revive it, because we've always had a very strong comedy industry, in inverted commas. People use that word industry for the wrong things. Like an industry has to make things, so I don't actually like to use the word industry for
they make laughs, Garrett.
Yeah, but
they make yucks.
It's not a profession, because we discussed this the other day. Professions are like accounting or medicine or law. It's not, and it's not an industry. Like, you don't make a product. So what would you call it? The comedy.
A ticket. Look, I don't want to argue semantics. I don't mind either way. If it is or it isn't an industry, let me know.
No, but
I think it just makes you put on an event. People sell tickets. It generates money. You can sell.
Okay.
I mean, surely
it's a business.
Industry.
It's a comedy business. It's the comedy business. I like that because
fair. It
doesn't feel right to. You know, we've got words that mean specific things, and let's use them where we can. Otherwise, we're just uneducated idiots. And I think in this case, business is the right word. The comedy business. Let's call it that.
But I hope we haven't lost Robbie, because like I haven't met him, but I've seen bits and pieces of his comedy, and he's like awesome. Funny. And Jesus, I was actually going to try to shut the fuck up a little bit and listen to what he had to say. So I hope he comes back.
Yeah, well, if he manages to reconnect, we'll bring him back up. Don't worry about it. But while we were talking just now to Robbie about like the comedy industry and everything else, I've always been a major supporter of this. That's one thing I know I can't do. And you were talking about, you know, creating your characters, and you are you're bold and brave enough to stand up on a stage and rap, which, I mean, I could never, ever do that. That's hardcore improv of the first order, because there's just no tolerance. That no one will give
that's
you...
That's a picture.
Dude, people are
with that, like,
vicious.
Dude, the only, like, I've never done much record. I've done a few things on people's songs here and there, and there's a couple of old, like, say, acts that have come and gone that I've recorded with. But, like, I struggle to remember lyrics. And also, on stage, especially with drum and bass at that really fast tempo, it's the pressure and the speed of it and the having no time to think that make it work. If I sit and write, it becomes a poem, and I, like, get booth and I try to rap it, and I just feel like a white guy trying to, like, yo-yo
do you feel like a fraud? What are they?
On the stage, it's like, you've just got to go, and I can never make it the same. It's like, what's exciting about it for me is that I don't know really what I'm going to say. It's 80% freestyles, because there's little hooks and stuff that I fit in that, like, I'll play at every show, little patches of rhyme that I'll drop at every show when the beat's right for it, or when I need a placeholder. But, like, the fun of it for me is not being prepared. As soon as I'm prepared, I'm like, this is dumb. I don't like this line. I've forgotten what happens next.
In other words,
so yeah, you
can't actually overthink it, in other words.
You can't think it at all. No.
Wow, it just has to flow. It's literally in the flow.
Yeah.
All right, I want to show you something cool
And
here.
I've also...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
No, go for it.
No, I was just going to say, with stand-up as well, I've, like, got up on stage and done comedy stuff, like, in a comedy environment, or get up and go and be funny. Mm. But to memorize a whole set and then to try and make it flow. So, like, if I am entertaining, and thank you to people who think I am and sorry to people who don't, it's because I get into the moment. So people who can kind of memorize a set and then go off script a little bit, like, same with preparing a song, that's for me, like, amazing. Dudes who can get up and say the same shit over and over again and maybe change it a little bit. Like, I got to make it up on the spot, or else it's A, not entertaining for me, and B, probably not entertaining for anybody else.
No, I'm inclined to agree. I just want to show you something fun. You and I often talk about these dating apps, because you've been on them, right? And while we're waiting for this is so hilarious. So I want to see if this one would get your attention at all. So here she is with her blue hair. Her name is Sam. She's 20.
Oh, you can't show the person if it's a real person.
Someone sent this to me. She's not in this country. She's from Northumbria. She does live in Midrand. Oh, Jesus Christ. Sorry. All right. Anyway, so.
But it said they're looking for a decent person to nap with. That's quite a cool.
I'm looking for. This is what I wanted you to see. So I'm looking for a decent person to nap with. So is that really a thing you should put on a dating app, that you're looking for someone to nap with?
It's cute. It's whimsical. It's not sushi, wine, Netflix, don't be an asshole, don't be a liar, not here to be messed around.
Like, what is the most stupid thing someone has said on a dating app that put you off immediately, even if you thought they were attractive?
I mean, I can't think of a specific, but basicness, where you just, like, show your midrandity right off the bat, and also negativity, where you shit on me for what everyone else does on there that you don't like. Like, I'm not here to be around, bloody liars swipe left or whatever, you know, and then it's like,
liars.
I sent you one that I actually screen grabbed ages ago. I was like, boring story. I was looking through my phone for old receipts that I'd taken photos of. I found, because we were speaking like 2 months ago, a month ago, when I was overseas, about dating apps, which I've subsequently more or less abandoned.
Yeah.
But I screen grabbed one, just the description, because I don't want to show the individual. And it was like, I don't need negativity. Don't be bloody negative. Don't take chances. Do you think I'm some sort of idiot? What do you take me for? I'm all about living a positive life. I'm here to be positive, and I'm a positive soul. So no chances, asshole. Something to that effect. I was just like, how can someone be so basic that they've just been on a negative rant?
Yeah, but they're a positive
about how
person.
They're so positive.
Yeah. But you know,
if you
know,
still have it, you can actually, I'll find it.
You know that drag artist, Lily Slapped Silly, Beryl, who's hilarious, does this like real Kugel from like Cape Town, and we've had her on the show before. She's hilariously funny, and her favorite thing is, she's like, I saw my husband Lionel and I wanted to kill him. I wanted to smash his head into the wall. But you know, I'm not a violent person. I would never ever do that. That's what she always says. I'm not a violent person though, so I would never ever do that. Look at this quickly. This is something that caught my attention. 25 years of marriage and he never, not even once, raised his voice or his hand to his wife. And there's a guy. He's standing in the picture, and his wife has got bigger arms and biceps than he does.
So this was the one that I sent you. And again, I just found it, and I was like, oh, my God, this is exactly what we were talking about on the show. So this is the whole bio. And you have a limited amount of characters, right? So you've got to choose them carefully.
Go.
In case you were wondering, I'm aware that there are people on this app with some kind of agenda, especially while sharing vibes that are not being reciprocated. Energy doesn't lie. Capitals, not here to fuck random clowns. Mm. In search of a connection, no hookups. I'm a strong, free-spirited, and independent woman. I love a man with a good sense of humor and not materialistic. I'm not here to be your mother. I'm all about positive vibes. Are you willing to reciprocate that? Positive vibes. Are you willing? Like, there's literally, I'm a strong, free-spirited, and independent woman. I love a man with a good sense of humor, not materialistic. That is 20% of this, and that's the only part of it that's vaguely positive. The rest is a rant and a bitch about what other dudes have done. So, like, you're shitting on all of dudekind or womankind or whatever you're into, at the person who deserves a fresh chance. Like, I haven't fucked up yet.
Yes, exactly. So,
but everyone else who has, I'm getting crapped on for what they've done. They've, and just the basicness.
They've poisoned her well, and now it's your problem, in case you thought like you might actually want to meet this person. Someone says here,
yeah, other men are assholes, Gordon. Go away.
Sean says, Gord, I think it's time to sing Decimal Dan.
Decimal Dan, the Ronsent man, gives you Rons 4 cents wherever he can. 1 rand for a pound, 98 cents for a quatrain, 11 cents for a tiki, 17.4 cents for a quadrant. Like, that math thing of those cents. My favorite thing about Decimal Dan, the Ronsent man, was that it starts at 1 to 1 for the pound, and then you start getting random amounts.
It's so
for
complicated. Gets really. Because they used to have like a shilling and a ticky and a, you know, it's just
today's broadcast. It's Decimal Dan, the Ronsent man. He gives Rons 4 cents whenever he can.
Don't you think there's something so cute about the fact that they used to do public service announcements, but they'd actually hire a person to write a song for the public service announcement? I mean, like, no one goes to that trouble anymore. Now you just get like, and the president just pitches up on TV and goes, we will be shutting down cinemas for 3 years or whatever. You know, no one's done anything creative around it. Like, there used to be a time where if they were changing the currency, they had to make a song for you to all. So everyone would be singing the song.
Jingles.
Yeah.
I try to bring them back. I've been in advertising a long time, and like, I've pitched a lot of jingles, and like, no one ever goes for it. But like, firstly, from like a marketing perspective, something that gets stuck in a person's head, as long as it's not too irritating, even if it's a little bit irritating and it's an earworm, it's effective brand like recognition, but it's fun. Think of like, oh boy, Mom remembered Melrose, and I remember the Black Cat Peanut Butter Rap Kid.
Yeah,
and like a cool song, Village of the Tiki Rascals.
I'll be in the shop and I'll walk past something and the song will pop up in my head and then I'll buy it. It just proves that stuff has power, like way more than just a clever tagline or whatever. If they have a song, I remember that stuff instantly and I can recall every lyric in the stupid jingle. Maybe
I'm haunted by an ad that was on Highveld Stereo when I was a kid. So my mom used to listen to the radio, and like, I would get fetched from school, and she would, I mean, I hated, I was super furious at the time. It was her own car. She could do what she wants, but it was a 702, and it's certain, and if that wasn't to her taste, if they weren't talking about interesting things, go to Highveld. And so I hated the music, but there was an ad for Lombard tires that has haunted me. It's been an earworm every day. Well, I'm an alien from outer space, and I'm trying real hard to get out of this place, but my tires are worn and my alignment's wrong. I need a wheel balance that won't take too long. When out of the blue, I heard this name, Lombard Tires. I was back in the game. So I took my ship down to Lombard in town, had my Goodyears on before the sun went down. And that's the story of my trip to Earth and how I got my money's worth at Lombard Tires.
Yes, dude. I remember that.
It keeps me awake at night still, and I'm 41. This was when I was 9.
That's so great. There are a lot of other good ones here. We've got to do these, right? So Take a Tumble. Do you remember Tumbles?
Take a Tumble. Take a Tumble. I don't remember the rest of the words, but I remember Take a Tumble.
And they'd have like a goalkeeper like jumping to the side or whatever. Cremora, it's not inside, it's on top. Yeah, but that wasn't a jingle. Wedwo.
Yeah, but
oh boy, Mum remembered Melrose. Why did I think of Melrose?
It's a little overlap where there's like a cool catchphrase, like, you know, it's not inside, it's on top. It's not a jingle, but it's touching the same territory.
Who remembers Zap It in a ZB Can? South Africa's anti-litter campaign.
Zap It in the ZB Can.
Yeah.
Boss Paving? That's a proper one.
How did that go?
Oh, Boss Paving. And also, what about when your drain is being naughty? Call 444-4040. And the boss, walking on Boss Paving. What a feeling. So appealing. But also, one of the best ones was there's a mumbling in the jungle at the village of the cheeky rascals. They pick their fruit from the magical tree and they take it to the factory. A squish, a squash,
yes,
a bubbly brew.
The
rascals make the fruitiest chew.
Flavors never stop with a rascal's fruity pop. That's exactly
it.
Yeah, that's great.
Chase reckons he wants to be a Simba Chippy. I've always wanted to be one. Yes, more than a Willard's Chippy because they had a better song.
Dipper Omar. That's another good one. Very good.
Dipper Omar. I just always used to imagine because like in sort of certain circles, dipping someone is to hit them. And I just imagine this person going around dipping Omars. It's like that's a terrible thing to want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Dipper Omar. Because it just means to punch someone, right?
So I've got bad news. Robbie is unable to join us. He's clearly run out of battery on everything, so he's not going to be back today, but we'll try and get him on soon. Bathroom Bazaar. That's always B-I-Z-A-R-R-E. Come to Bathroom Bazaar.
Oh, classic.
That's so great.
Oh, yeah. Who can bake a biscuit? Who can bake a biscuit? Especially for you. Especially for you. Put in a flaky thing and thingy things too. The baker's man can.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. Oh, my God. Absolutely right. Look special, feel special, eat special, K. I don't remember that. Firestone jingles.
Look special, feel special, eat special, K. Yeah, it was, I know that one.
Do you remember the Firestone tires jingles?
Oh, my God. Nell Silver. Spray it on dry hair and your hair will stay there. Spray it on wet hair. And your hair is set there. Jane Seymour, set two
is something new. Yes.
And there's also the city golf one was something similar.
Yes, red, yellow, blue, not green.
Red, yellow, blue.
Doobie.
This is why I'm maladjusted, because this shit takes up part of my brain bandwidth that should be used for like
Excel
spreadsheets.
Oh my God. You know what? Sergio is quite right. Stefano Vigoriti, who's a friend of ours, I'm actually getting him on the show soon. Stefano is, he used to play soccer. He used to be our soccer guy. He's in charge of, MSC Cruises at the moment. And Stefano told me that he was the guy in the ad. He was in the Take a Tumble ad. He was the goalkeeper in the ad. So that's why I remember it. Yeah.
Tangentially related, my matric maths teacher, my class 12 maths teacher, was Wuffles on Pumpkin Patch.
You're
and that
joking.
Theme song is the biggest banger of all time.
You're joking.
Yeah, Matt Matesa.
Really?
He was a proper academic. Right? He had like a PhD or some shit in maths. He was one of like the three dudes that used to write the maths textbook. So he wasn't just like he was like a doctor of maths and he had like a PhD in drama. And he was just the dude in that did Wuffles. But that tune is the ultimate banger, dude. The Pumpkin Patch, oh, Pumpkin Patch. Mm-hmm. Let's all run to Pumpkin Patch. Woof, woof, pumpkin patch. Oh, pumpkin patch. Every day we play
in pumpkin patch. Oh, that's
that
so
was,
great.
That is the ultimate. That was childhood banging.
Let's just give credit where credit's due here. Somebody said that the one guy who wrote so many of these, Roy Balkin, was the creator of so many jingles. He composed and sang them on radio and TV. So thanks for that, Shani. It's always nice to know who these people are behind these things.
So there was like a Billy Joel slash Elton John of jingles. There was like a main hook that overshadowed everything else.
I hate to say it, but I remember the Lilettes jingle. Lilettes, the tampons. Well, how did that go?
I don't remember a Lilettes jingle.
No, I don't either.
Oh, dude, what about Mnet, where they did this, don't stop me now, because I'm having a good time. But they changed the words. It's like, I don't remember now, I'm drawing a blank.
Stop.
Like,
no.
All the words
we won't stop now. That was how it went.
Entertainment's so good. You're having a ball.
That's right. We won't stop now. John says, do you remember Timothy Traddle?
Yeah, see, that thing haunted me. Timothy Traddle was the most disturbing thing. It looked like a like an old man's penis that was green. Timothy Traddle was made out of green ball sack.
Oh, dude. Oh, that's horrible. Timothy Traddle was a turtle,
there was
turtle,
all of that
right?
GDO stuff. There was Mr. Chinwag.
Yes,
and that was also
I
like...
loved Mr. Chinwag because Natasha Sutherland... who was like easily the hottest woman on kids' TV, and I was already a teenager, so I had no business watching Kiddio, but I would watch it because she would do like stories with Mr. Chinwag, and I'd be like, wow, you know, that woman's she's too hot for children's TV. She was. Did she marry Steve Hoffmeyer at some point?
She's not too hot. I mean, she was at that time.
Yeah, she was.
But, dude, there was a character on Kiddio called Pedro the Music Man, and his jingle used to haunt me as well. Come and see Pedro, Pedro, Pedro. Come and see Pedro the Music Man. But I remember I would watch that, and I didn't take it terribly seriously because I was like of reasonable intelligence as a kid. I was like, okay, whatever, it's a TV show. And I just watched this character, and I'd like not think anything of it. And then at some point in my teen years, in sort of mid-high school, I met Pedro. And I was old enough and sort of corrupt enough at the point to realize, like, this character, in my opinion, this individual just had Joel Miles on him. Like, he was like this entertaining music oak. He was like a hippie who's probably victims of this age with that like aged vibe of substances. And again, not making any allegations. I'm sure you're just a vegan. You look so healthy. But you looked like you had positive ecstasy miles on you. And like, I was like... I get it. Like, this dude shouldn't be around kids. And again, purely on his own evidence, sure, he's a great person. But that was the impression I got. I was like, oh, shit. Like, you look like my mate's old
I think you can still. I think you can still find some of this stuff on YouTube. Chase says, I remember Candice Hillebrand on KTV. She was hot. Oh, my God. She was. And she was so. She was hot in person, too. Because I remember.
She was lovely.
She was lovely. She
went to the States and became a singer, and she's done it. Like, she has made, like, a household name worldwide, but she did pretty well as a sort of musician, singer person there, model musician. Like, she got married, she went overseas, and she, like, reinvented herself, and she's done pretty well.
Ironically, Gord, we've come full circle, because when you came onto the show earlier this morning, you were like, what are those things when you were a kid that you still love and that you remember? And we've basically gone through all of these ads and jingles and theme tunes from TV shows when we were children. I don't think this is even interesting. Anyone born after, like, I'm imagining Simpiwa sitting in the studio now going, what are these old assholes talking about? You know,
because I mean, if you're older than 30, this is makes no sense.
This whole show,
old dudes.
Yeah, this whole show has been a complete waste of time for anyone who's younger than 30. It's just a total waste of time today. Sorry. I apologize in advance. Lots of others here. Whatever happened to Uncle Bill and Laurel from Pumpkin Patch? Do you think they ever like had sex, Uncle Bill and Laurel?
Uncle Bill was. Don't think those thoughts about Uncle Bill. Don't you say sex things about Pumpkin Patch? That is sacred, and the sanctity of Pumpkin Patch
will
not be
desecrated. Hang on a second. No, hang on. There was
Uncle Bill has never had sex except to make his children.
Okay, but there was always a bit of a thing like freckles and speckles. I know they were meant to be.
I'll sing a little song.
No, hold on. They were meant to be related, but
cousins, I think.
I think Speckles was definitely gay. And it was never really said in the show, obviously. You know, they wouldn't have allowed it on 1980s or 90s television. But I think Speckles was definitely gay. I mean, he used to, like, compose music, and he always went, "Ah, no, Wuffles, what are you doing?" Like, totally over the top kind of. I'm pretty sure he was. He was, like, the first not openly gay character on Kids TV.
I don't like to think about these, like, you don't soil the memory. And not to say that gay soils the memory.
No, exactly.
Having a sexuality soils the memory. I don't want to think about what these dudes did in their spare time. They were just pumpkin patch all the time.
Well,
in real life, that place was real and there was none of that shit going on.
Uncle Bill has has been Uncle Bill has problems from his mayor's chain. He was the mayor of Pumpkin Patch. That's right.
Yes.
Just by the way, Nell Silver says, "I hated Zet." Do you remember Zet?
Yes. Yeah, Zet was terrifying. My buddy Alan, my good friend Alan, has an actual phobia of Zet, to the point where he was terrified as a kid because Zet would pop up at shopping centers and go and, like, entertain kids. And he had this genuine fear Zet could just pop up from anywhere, because that's what happened on the TV. And if you show him a picture of Zet, he acts like legitimately anxious. He's like, "No, man, put it away. Fuck. Seriously, it's not funny. Put it away."
A lot of people going into theme tunes here. Does anyone remember Vili Vali? Yeah, of course. All It Takes Is Two. Take Two. All It Takes Is Two.
Take Two.
Oh, that was
Take Two. Take Two. Shortcake Biscuits. Milk chocolate coat, cover them. Caramel, smother them. No, some other shit.
Jeez, you remember, you have such a good memory for this stuff. I was in the shop yesterday and a product jingle came into my head and I was like, wow, that's powerful. It's so weird that we're talking about this today, because I was thinking it just yesterday in the shop.
People should get back. Make more jingles. And I mean, again, if it's terribly irritating, like any advertising, if it's done badly by non-talented people with a client that takes the agency's items so that they can say it was theirs, like, there's always perils. But if done well, sing-along stuff is awesome. Like, it's catchy. The combination of message and rhythm and melody makes it memorable. That's why better than we don't.
Jay says, "Do you remember Eddie Eckstein on Telefun Quiz? Turn on the telly," and it would go doodly 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 do. Do you remember that?
I wanted one of those ducks so badly, and my mom wouldn't get me one. They were for sale at stores. You could just get one, and they weren't especially expensive. And she was like, "That's a bit of crap. You're not having that. You don't need one. You don't need it. You're a boy child." I'm like, "Oh, what a fucking duck from Telly. Is that a name? That little duck thing was called something. I don't remember what." And I just thought my friends had, and I was almost like, "No, it's just for some reason I don't like it, so you can't either. I love you, Mom, but you should have got me a fucking fun quiz, duck." It's not like we couldn't afford it.
You're obviously traumatized by it. Human Shield says, "Has anyone mentioned Mina Mu?" Mina Mu was...
Mina Mu and company. Mina Mu. And I just remember two characters on Mina Mu, Back and Terrier. And even as a small kid, talked about, like, washing your hands and health and don't let your milk go off and stuff. But even as, like, a kid, a primary school kid, I knew that that was condescending and a bad pun and not me. And I was like, fuck these guys for Anterior. You can do better. And who the calls a character Back? And yeah, this is where my strong opinions and maladjustments all come from.
Yeah, there's a lot of anger in there.
But I mean, in reality, though, like, this sweet spot of where something is, like, not condescending and it's well constructed, but it's also sweet and humorous, and where it is condescending and you're just trying to condescend to a child or maybe something that the parents will like.
Sorry,
informs a lot of the stuff.
I got to interrupt you. We've got to get to George, who I know is in the wings. But before that, Lindy and Tuli says, "Guys, my folks went on Telefun Quiz. So embarrassing." Because you remember, they used to have couples. So the husband would turn on the telly and the wife would answer the questions, or vice versa. You remember that? So
yes.
Lindy, your parents were on Telefun Quiz. That is awesome. I hope you've still got a VHS somewhere of that. That's amazing.
But also, like, just sort of semi-tangentially, you are one of two people. I know Brendan Cooper, who's a legend, is the other one that went on Celebrity or whatever, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Didn't you win?
Me? No, I didn't win.
You went on it, didn't you?
Yeah, I went on, but you went on. I didn't win. No, no, I didn't. I definitely didn't win.
Cooper won.
Yeah. All right. Okay, we got to stop this fun with this stupid stuff because we've got other kinds of fun now. We've got George Meany, who I know, Gord, your favorite thing on a Friday is to see George, and he's in our studio. He's decided.
Don't so George, tell him, shake him in a heartbeat. Oh, he's there. Hey, George, so just telling God. Gareth how interesting your show is.
George, for some reason, is at our studio in Rivonia. George, are you driving a fancy car and you just needed to stretch its legs? What's the story? We can't hear you, George. You're on mute. You need to unmute.
Must be the most said thing in the last 3 years. You're on mute.
I know. Sorry about that.
Anyway, I'm in my iPace here, but I was like reminiscing about coming here, so I thought come see St. Pugh and no one else.
Yeah, because there's no one else there, right? Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay. No, it's very cool. I mean, it's like exactly the way it was. It's almost like when the zombie apocalypse mm-hmm. hits, and then you go back to a building, and it's almost like people left in a hurry.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, George. Now you've depressed me. Now you've depressed everyone that the studio is like a zombie apocalypse. But okay, you're in the studio. So George, it's always good to see you on a Friday because I know when you come on a Friday, it means the weekend is truly starting. And Gord hasn't been able to tell you how much he thinks of you for I don't know a couple of weeks now. So if you needed an ego boost, we've got that going as well this morning.
Your hair thanks, looks especially thanks. Good today, George. It's always good, but today it's extra good, so muzzle.
It's the studio lights. The studio lights.
George, do you remember any of those ads and those theme tunes and things?
Yes, I do. And I was thinking of one a second ago before you put me on. Knarsis. Do you remember Knarsis?
Yes, man. It was on Afrikaans TV. You remember, Gord, we used to have Monday, Wednesday, and Friday were English kids programs, and on Tuesday and Thursday.
Bunny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the bunny was called?
I don't remember Knarsis, but I mean, I probably
Knarsis was his crocodile.
No, was it like a dragon? It was like a dragon. And it,
and, dragon, and it, yes.
And it would bounce around on the screen.
No, and he was like the puppet.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes, yes, yes. I must find you a picture of him because when you see him, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Let me just find Knarsis the puppet. Here we go. Knarsis it comes up immediately on Google, so a lot of other people have been looking for it. Okay, I'm going to find you a picture of Knarsis the dragon, and then I'm going to find you a picture of Oscar the rabbit. That's the name, Oscar.
Oscar the rabbit. That's,
there we go.
Yes, Oscar.
All right.
What's a ton of Sonic no fat?
There we go. Yes, exactly. That's the one. And they used to talk like this. They always had these really obviously evil voices for the, you know, for the bad characters, and then the good characters had these really nice voices. It was so obvious. Like, if only the world was
only life really like that. I know. Someone comes up to you and they're like, "Would you like to buy this?" It's cheap and it's effective, and you'd be like, "No." And in fact, evil people come disguised as really beautiful women. And like,
imagine
voices tell you everything you want to hear.
Yeah, imagine someone went, "You really need this medicine."
Yeah, I'd like to finance your car in an unusual way. Would you like to sign up?
All right, here's Knarsis.
There's
Knarsis. You remember that, Gord?
I was thinking of something else. I was thinking of a green oak friend who was a crow.
No, man. This one, and he had,
like,
he had
that was really funny.
He had a whole bunch of teeth that sat on like a washing line, and they would sing
like
songs.
A washing
to him.
Line, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And there's the rabbit, Oscar.
Oscar.
Yeah.
The music went something like da 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 da
da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da Mm-mm. We used to watch it at 10 to 7 in the morning before school. Mm-mm. It was a little shark. It was a shark, and he used to chase his he used to chase his other fish around in the sea.
Yes. Oh, God, what was that called? It was high something.
Okay,
audience, help us with this. I know exactly what you're talking about, but I can't remember the name.
I just, like, I remembered Knasses, but I couldn't remember the name of the show.
Look, Ancient Ether anyway. Says, can you guys please talk about cars now? So you see, this is, people want us to be serious. You're trying to have fun here, but people want us to get straight to the point. They didn't come here for bullshit. They came here to hear what George thinks of cars and what he can tell us.
Okay, all right. Well, first story. They have designed a truck, obviously in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
They've designed a truck that can simulate seismic activity. So it can simulate an earthquake. So what this truck does, I sent you a picture there, Gareth. What this truck does is it pounds the earth with 27 metric tons of impact at a rate of 30 times per second.
Hmm.
And what this truck's designed to do, what the system is designed to do, is to measure the capability of the earth in a specific location to withstand the force of an earthquake.
The horrible looking.
It's a truck that can fuck, basically. And it does that to the ground.
A truck that can fuck, exactly. Pounds the earth. Takes the earth to pound.
Pounds the earth.
Takes the earth to pound town. That's
this
great.
This doesn't sound like a bad idea at all, to create something that can smash the earth with thousands of tons of pressure 30 times a second. Just basically frack. Like 100 meters under where they're testing this, we've got like fracking happening.
Well, you never know. Maybe they were looking for a fracking zone, and it's just an undercover reason for doing what they're doing.
Where I live, there's certain places you can't build on because there's dolomite, you know, in the ground. And what happens with dolomite is that when you have a lot of rain, some of it dissolves, the actual rock dissolves, and it creates these sinkholes, effectively. So if you brought that pound town truck here, you would cause a lot of trouble. I think a lot of houses would sink into the earth if you like started hammering the ground outside their driveways.
Isn't that the case in the West Rand where all the mines are?
Yeah.
There's often sinkholes.
Apparently Joburg, I mean, I don't know if this is absolutely true, but apparently Joburg underground, it's like a Swiss cheese. It's like full of tunnels and holes. And basically, if we ever have a really big earthquake here, we're in big, big shit because the whole of Joburg will like start rattling and rolling and some of it will fall.
I mean, this is not the earthquake show, but apparently the...
the earthquake show! God, can you imagine the earthquake show? I mean, there are shows like this.
Feel that?
The earthquake show.
What's the rumble? It's the
apparently, Kuburg Power Station is built on a fault line.
Oh no! I see Fukushima.
I don't know how true it is.
Oh no! All right, let's just stop right there. Are we going to make people paranoid? Okay, what else?
Then, have you ever named your car? Nicknamed
Always.
Your car?
Every
apparently,
car.
Apparently, this is quite a thing.
100%.
Every car I've ever had has had a name.
So I looked up names for cars, and people have named their cars Scorcher, Burner, Roadrunner, Gorilla, Bigfoot, Everest.
Metal Mobile.
What have you named your car, Gord?
No, mine is always...
My Black Polo was the Metal Mobile.
Mine's always had like human names, like Dexter or Doris or Sven or
My next one's going to be called Carl.
That's so stupid. I can't kill you. All right, what else? Why do people do this? Why do they call it? Is it because Everest is so obvious, like the Ford Everest, right? So is that why? Is that like a total lack of imagination? It's like those people who call their child Sion. You know, like
I think anybody that calls their car by the name of the car itself is boring, to be honest.
I think so.
Call it something better.
Call
it Shadow or something.
So my sister-in-law has an Everest, but we call it the Everest, just to annoy her.
Oh, that's even better. So then, leading on from that, why do we refer to our cars and many other things for that matter as a she? And there's actually, I went to go and look this up, and there's actually a reason, and there's a history to why we call things she, particularly cars. And it turns out that it comes from a Latin, because English comes from, you know, a little bit of Latin. So the Latin word for ship is a feminine word. And because Latin has gender, you know, many languages have gender, you know, for different things.
Right.
The Latin word for ship is gender. So that's where the word she for ship came from. And then it extended to everything else, including cars.
Uh-huh. But you know, some countries are male and some countries are female, right?
No.
So like...
cancellation. I'm excited about this.
Well, I mean, so some things are gendered, whether the LGBT community like it or not. But like Russia is male. France is a she. Germany's a he, as I recall. Spain is a she. Like there's some countries that have, the country itself has a gender.
Do these countries decide this for them? Like back when this was a thing and it needed to be like assigned.
Yeah, a bunch
of languages had gender, right?
Yeah. So George is right. That this is where it comes from. But someone says, Steve says Mother Russia. So maybe not. Maybe Russia's a she. Maybe I got that by the balls. So, or literally not by the balls in this case. all right. What else have we got?
And then there was a home in Dallas where this guy has a – let me just send you a link there. This guy has a private collection of cars as an office. So if you have a look at that image, you'll see that he has a private collection of cars as well as a – it's his home office, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow.
And it's a – Ferrari display there. He's actually themed the entire home office as Tron. So he's got different cars in different places. And this house is going for, with the home office included, for $3.9 million.
So this guy's
imagine having a home office like that.
Major car fan. I mean, we've got people like Jay Leno who've got warehouses full of this. But here's his home office, and he's got cars in these like these beautiful little. It almost looks like a. Like a Star Wars ship, and in each of the rooms, he's got cars. It's awesome. Even the backdrops, all like Formula One stuff. I mean, that's real.
Look, I could think of other ways to spend that money, but I'm not trying to judge this dude. He's obviously got a lot of passion for it, but I think that's ugly as fuck. And I think that the picture of the crashing Formula One, I guarantee you, it's low res, and it's like... than it should be, and it looks like shit up close because no one prints large scale printing well.
All right, thanks, Gord, for ruining that one. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's cool though if you like that sort of thing.
Well, I mean, let me show you another version of this picture because I think you know George has found something interesting here. Listen, some people, there's no accounting for taste, right? There's no accounting for taste. What one person thinks is beautiful.
Well, it's subjective, eh?
Of course. What one person thinks is beautiful, someone else is going to think is really ugly. But take a look at this.
Thank God for that, or I would never, ever have gotten laid in my life.
All right, so here's a different angle on that office. And you know what? If you're into this stuff, I mean, that could be quite cool if you're a real Ferrari fanatic. I mean... So it's like he's got this desk, and it's all in red and white, and he's got the big Ferrari badge on the wall. I mean, it's not my scene either. I wouldn't like that. But I think there are people who would.
Cool chandelier.
Yeah.
Like a white chandelier. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not that much of a dick.
The thing is, I didn't even notice the chandelier.
Hmm.
I just didn't notice the chandelier.
If you're into that sort of thing, that's it. It's just not me, is what I'm saying. I don't, but like, great if you like Ferraris and shit. Amazing.
No, but it just proves because you're not into that thing, you notice the other things that are around what you're not into. So I'm into cars and Formula One. So I won't notice the chandelier. Whereas you're not into Ferraris.
It's a really good chandelier, though.
Yeah.
And like, it is legit a super cool chandelier.
Someone here, Steve says it looks cool for a secondhand car dealership on Jules Street. All right. Poor guy.
Poor guy. And his $3.9 million home office now gone up in flames.
Right. I'm sure he's going to be crying himself to sleep on a pillow full of money.
Mm. And then very finally, I don't know if you heard, Gareth, the South African government has decided, in their infinite wisdom, I mean, I've got an argument for this, okay, because I think they just executed it in the wrong way. They are putting up tire import duties by 38%.
Why?
38% on tires from China.
Why?
Now, we can't figure out whether it's because these tires that are being imported from China are low quality. You know, it's difficult to find the reasons why, but they're putting up import duties at 38%. Now, that's going to hurt the consumer who, you know, R1,100 tire, that price is definitely going to go up now. So that's the downside. That's like a real proper economic downside. And it just shows you the government does things without, you know, calculating the effects. In my opinion, this is not a bad thing because it does stimulate local manufacture. I mean, we manufacture approximately 11 million tires in South Africa, continental down on the Eastern Cape. Right. We manufacture 11 million tires. 2 million of those tires we export. However, South Africa consumes approximately 15 to 18 million tires a year. So that's how much we use.
Okay, so
there's lots of scope for manufacture.
All right, but there could be an argument then for kind of protecting local industry. And if you put up the tariffs on imported tires, then you protect local industry. I'm always a little bit nervous about this protectionism because why should the consumer be punished? You know, like if the Chinese can make cheaper tires and you don't really care whether it's some kind of fancy brand or whatever, there's an argument for that.
Do they get the money from that duty and give it to stimulate local manufacturing?
Just go straight.
Does someone in the ANC buy another giant Merck?
Yes, that's exactly
And not an electricity manufacturing
that's
plant.
That's what happens. You're spot on. So that's why I'm very much against protectionism as a rule, because I think you're also manipulating the market. And why should the ordinary consumer have to foot the bill because the government thinks they're protecting an industry, but they're just stealing money? And it's another tariff. It's another
tire manufacturing stimulus fund. Local tire manufacturers who are starting can tap into to get funding for building their factory. The tariff funds that, then cool.
But you're living in a fantasy. It's just another stealth tax. All it is.
So we unpack this in grave detail in the Auto Trader podcast on Monday.
Awesome.
So that is a 30-minute show on this particular topic itself.
In other words, we just scratched the surface on a big discussion and a big debate that there's a lot more complex detail around.
Correct.
Spot on. All right, George, lovely to see you. Thank you very much. Friday has truly begun. Gordo, it's awesome to spend some time with you this morning. You were really on good form this morning. All these goddamn jingles are going through my head now, so I'm going to have to, I don't know, do something to, like, I'm going to go and do some
Just
exercise.
Quickly, George, I ask you, do you know whether Lombard tires are locally manufactured or imported?
Do you know whether Lombard tires
are
locally? They must be.
I don't know.
I think they're local. Lombard tires.
I think Lombard tires... I think Lombard Tires is just a local retailer, but I'm not sure.
I can't go get Lombards. Damn it! Okay, well, George is the right oak to ask.
Don't take my word for it. I don't know the answer, but I know that it's a local retailer.
All right, guys. Thanks very much. Happy day, and have a good weekend, everybody. We will see you on Monday. Be good. Bye bye.
Love you, my dude.
Cheers. CliffCentral.com.